Hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
U.S. District Magistrate Judge Candy Dale now ruling the state must begin issuing licenses to same-sex couples.
This court has taken upon itself a radical attempt to redefine marriage.
Fighting for Idaho.
The first person I called was my mom, and she said, I'm so proud of you, Abby.
The United States Supreme Court is going to have to answer this question.
It was a good day.
They move to a place, they infest it like vermin, they change it, and then they destroy it, and then they move on and do it to the next place.
Fighting for you.
And you have your choice, folks. A cowboy, a curmudgeon, a biker, or a normal guy. Take your pick. Thank you very much. We're leaving it up to you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I don't want to get in trouble.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, dear true believers, we are under attack. And Ray Amaya is doing his very best now, in addition to trying to keep us in line to monitor this. But there is a semi-regional, somewhat incredibly successful show out of the South actually ripping us for our debate, ripping the state as we predicted. So I hope all the libs that are ripping me on Twitter and all the folks at Idaho Public Television, League of Women Voters, and the Idaho Press Club are happy because they continue to pat themselves on the back and say they've done a great job. Well, the nation is laughing. And by the way, our friend Walt from Emmett, who's running, who was at the debate, will join us in the 7:30 hour. But we're joined by our friends from the 1st Battalion Lightfoot Militia.
The 27th Battalion Lightfoot.
Well, thank you. All right. Yep. We've got two militias here. Captain Craig Campbell is with us to introduce our panel. Is that correct, sir?
Sir.
Good to have you with us. You look good.
Well, thank you.
It's been
you.
A while.
Glad
last time
here.
We had you were with Jack Stewart.
And Jack, I wish we still had Jack with us, but he's been transferred to the 27th.
All right.
You took him.
That's
you
right.
You took Jack.
Yes.
So with us this morning is Steve Brown. He's our executive officer and one former Marine tanker. And also with Canyon County is the commanding officer of Canyon County, who is Lynn House.
Oh, well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming in.
No problem.
All right, so let's talk about the militia here in the state of Idaho and what's going on. We'll start with that.
Yeah.
It's a great setup that our founders started a century ago, and it's a wonderful opportunity for citizens to be engaged in their community and their self-reliance and in their protection. So it was a profound thing they did back then, and we're going to use it.
I'd also say that one of the big reasons that we're doing it right now is because the state constitution, the statute says the state's supposed to be doing this. They're supposed to be maintaining a militia according to the constitution, and they're not. So citizens are actually stepping up and filling in where the state government has decided not to perform its job.
So what's been the reaction? It's been, what, about a year?
About a year. It's been growing ever since. It's been great, actually. A lot of interest in this, not only in this county, but in Canyon and then various counties throughout the whole state.
So within the year, we've had Ada County form, then Canyon County form, Gem County is formed, there is a new group in Valley County that is formed, Jefferson County formed, and there is a group in Twin Falls that is preparing to form as well.
And just because this is, why are they doing this? They just seem to feel a need for this?
People are anticipating challenging days. And they're acting, and it's been going on. There's been frustration of citizen involvement in, you know, what can I do for my, you know, for my family, my community? Where can I be involved? And so people are stepping in. They see the storm on the horizon.
Well, what do you do to dispel the common misconceptions and, of course, the liberal media's impressions of the militia?
Well, personally, I think that you're never going to be able to dispel what the liberal media says. They have seems like they have a bigger voice in every article that you read, or most, I should say. They always seem to bring up, you know, Oklahoma City, Ruby Ridge, every time the militia is even mentioned, which is the opposite of what we're trying to do here. And even though some of those things militias weren't even involved. So we keep it in the open, be open and public about everything we do, and it's the right thing. And I think that's actually empowered a lot of other people in other areas that might have been reluctant to be in something like this too.
I think we're the neighbor. You know, we're the folks in the church pew, we're the people in the checkout line. So, you know, where's the concern? And that sentiment is not a new sentiment. Alexander Hamilton stated that very well in Federalist 29. So human nature has not changed.
The other thing is we get a chance, we don't tell our story, we let somebody else tell the story for us. And probably the best example is what happened in Twin Falls recently. When we had the when you were actually down at the ranch and we were having a meeting, got a call from a reporter at the Twin Falls News. She wanted to talk. I said, we haven't had a lot of success with the media, but she did have the standards. And so I said, I'll send you some things tonight. Her editor said, no, I got to put this out. And so she had to write an article, but she had to write it from the standards. So basically it was decent. Well, we invited her to come to our FTX and spend, which is field training exercise, spend the day with us. And everybody enjoyed having her there. And that was on Saturday. Sunday, the editorial board of the Times News put out a scathing review of militias, anybody who participated in militias, that they're just hateful people and things like that. The same time they're writing that, we've got a report, their reporter in the field with us. And 2 days later, she puts out another decent job of report of actual reporting. But the point is, unless we're there telling our story, we let somebody else, like the editorial board, tell the story for us.
Well, and let's talk about the story. Why do you all go do this? A lot of us, we sit back and we think to ourselves of our old days in the military or the reserves, and nobody wanted to spend their weekend in the field or doing, the military readiness. The difference between people that take it seriously and understand their sacrifice, it's not a lot of fun. People say, oh, you get to go out and again, these are these words, not mine. Play with the guns. It's not about that. It's about learning things. And sometimes when you learn, there's a learning curve.
Absolutely. I lost my train of thought.
It happens to me weekdays 5 to 9. It really does. By the way, 580-5436, 580-KIDL. I mean, back to my question here, I'm thinking to myself, hey, why do I want to go out in the field? I can watch, House of Cards or Netflix or go camping. It's not like going camping, is it?
No. And, anyone could sit at home on the weekend and do it. Most of us have jobs. We work 40-plus hours a week. Those that own their own businesses are working more than that. But yet, once a month, they find the time to go out there with a unit to train. And it's important skills because the more we can actually do now, training-wise, the better off we will be if something should happen. It's all about preparedness. You, like anything, it's the skill that you practice.
And I think another thing that has come across to me is, this country was not founded by professionals. And people today, I'll let the professionals do it. Well, we have a say in our communities, in our security, in our well-being, and we have every right and every, reason to be there and be functional in that role. But that takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of time in preparing. It just doesn't happen.
And I think the other thing it takes is a willingness to accept some responsibility for somebody other than just yourself. And for me, that was really the transition that for me to get into the militias. I realized I was preparing my family and things what I was doing. I was convinced what I would do if somebody came through my front door, but I really wasn't convinced about what I'd do about my neighbor. And as a Christian, it was like, if I'm going to love my neighbor as I'm loving myself, I need to be just as ready to step up, take care of them as I do take care of myself.
580-5436, 580-KIDO, as we talk to our friends from the militia. That article, again, while I was at the Bundy Ranch, I thought it was, again, very good, very accurate. But then you had the people in the Statesman, their big story was that you guys weren't going to the Bundy Ranch. Were you shocked at that?
No.
No.
Were you shocked that it was a story?
We're going to look at the militia news, and get this, there's no one from Idaho there except two people, which I happened to find while I was there. It just seems very strange that would be a news story that you guys didn't go.
Well, let's talk about this is a really important point. We are an organized militia from a state, we're the unorganized militia by statute right now, but we're a militia unit. And the militia has three jobs, and that's to enforce the rules of the state or union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion. If we were to take a militia unit into another state, we would be violating that, without invitation, we would be violating that state's sovereignty, which is what we're standing for. So how do you do that? Now, that's our position. Gentlemen?
As a unit, we would not be allowed to go somewhere.
Now, as citizens,
right?
We're not, as citizens, people need to do and follow their conscience. and go do that. Now, you may have people that are members of militias that have gone to different places. You've probably got members of militias as, along with other citizens that are at Operation American Spring today in D.C. But that's not the movement of a militia unit. That's a very, very different thing. We're here to protect the sovereignty and the state of Idaho and the people in Ada County or Canyon County in the case of the 27th.
What type of training do you guys do? Can you be specific?
Sure.
You know, right now we have people that are gifted in three areas, and we're expanding that, but communication seems to be the top of the list. No matter what we do, we find ourselves really, really needing to work on that factor. Security, we have some gifted folks there, and we're but not everybody's there, so we're seeking to expand that. We also have a gifted medical team. Some medical professionals have stepped forward and said, we want to be part of this. And they're very active, and they're well on their way. Another thing we're doing right now is some of us are doing CERT training. Now, CERT is a FEMA-sponsored thing, not exactly going there, but understanding the process, understanding what to do in any setting and how to respond to it is training.
So, right. Well, again, and you mentioned the militia march in D.C. today demanding the resignation of the president. Your response to that?
Well, it's really not a militia. Well, the people of the country, by the way, you know, if you're an able-bodied male in the state of Idaho, 18, 45 years old, you are in the militia, whether you want to be or not. That's the state constitution.
Fortunately, I've aged out of it.
There are a lot of us who do. Yeah. We're just volunteers.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that the people are the militia. The founders looked at the people of the states as the militia. They had three roles for citizens in a republic. You need to vote, you need to run for office, and you need to serve in the militia. Those are the citizen responsibilities in a constitutional republic.
How far away have we gotten from the founding of the country?
Miles.
You're asking us.
Miles and miles, in my opinion.
Yeah. Just what you were talking about this morning earlier, you know, you get federal magistrate that decides that they're going to violate the will of an entire state and people. You know, and all the constitutions begin with we the people. The people are the people that are sovereign, not the judiciary branch, not the legislative branch, not the executive branch. The people established all of those things
right.
To serve them, not to control them.
580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We'll have much more coming up. Let's get you to work safely and on time. Good morning, Dave.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, we continue on talking with our friends from the militia, the Ada County Militia, the Canyon County Militia. Gentlemen, what's going on? Everybody is... Oh, by the way, you all have got headphones, but let's go to the phones. And actually, Jim has the same question I did, but I think he can articulate it a lot better than I can. We go to Jim at 580KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin Miller. How are you?
Living the dream, brother.
Me too. I want to volunteer my time. How do I go about doing it?
Okay, well, we have meetings the first Tuesday of every month at the American Legion Post in Meridian, right across from City Hall on Broadway.
American Legion Post?
Yes, sir.
In Meridian. And at times?
It starts at 7 o'clock.
7 p.m.
And a website or Facebook for you guys?
Facebook would be Ada County, 1st, 1ST, Battalion spelled out, Lightfoot Militia, and Canyon also has the same thing.
Yes. All right, yes on Facebook. Okay, Jim, anything else?
Again, what days? The 2nd and...
No, first
third?
Tuesday of every month.
First
Tuesday.
First Tuesday of every month.
First Tuesday. Great. Thank you very much. You will be seeing me.
All right. Thank you. Attention to detail as we move along. All right. We go to Terry at State College, Pennsylvania. Hello, Terry.
Good morning.
Oh, by the way, do you want to...
How are you?
Hold on before you get to that. Listen to Glenn Beck right after me today and Dave Ramsey at lunch. 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock if you want to win the big money. Sorry. Terry, go ahead and say hello to Craig. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
10 months ago, we had a meeting in Marsing. You were present, and we talked to you about the Committees of Safety, which in all actuality was the original function of the colonial militia, which the modern-day militia does not do. And we talked to you about CERT training, neighborhood preparation. These were things that, according to the email I still have, says you could not endorse such a program. But yet I see you leaning in that direction. Well, my question is, and if the militia is not to leave the state, I'm from Lewistown, Pennsylvania, and if you look up the history of the Logan Guard, we were the first ones to march the whole way to Washington, D.C., and defend the Union. And took out a lot of rebels in the meantime. But my question comes down to this. In the Committee of Safety, you have the neighbors, which you claim to be protecting. They govern the militia. In this case, modern-day militia, you have a bunch of men running around basically establishing their own agenda, their own rules. It's not a colonial militia that you have. Would you comment on that?
Yeah, we're a constitutional militia formed under the state of Idaho, following their rules and sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the state and to follow the orders of the governor.
Well, but that's still not a colonial militia, which had a governing body. Again, volunteers who formed a committee.
Well, that's wonderful, Terry.
New York militia, before the revolution started, said we can't have a militia until we have a committee. Neighbors, people are going to oversight what we're doing to add legitimacy to
All right, Terry, let him respond, Terry.
Terry, the point is that's before the Constitution was formed. We are now a constitutional republic. That was not the case at that point in time. No, but we're trying to follow the current rules. And the other thing, Terry, to be plain, is that when we were at that meeting, I asked you specifically, I said, what is the oath that your people are going to take, and do you have any officers? And you said, no, we haven't gotten that far. And so if you can tell me with the oath of allegiance that people are swearing to, you're not really telling me who you are.
And Craig, in fact, if you look at the the portfolio that we gave to all of our legislators.
All right, this is a little too inside for us here at 580KIDO. If you guys want to continue on, if you have a question, Terry, for the audience, because you're kind of excluding everybody here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. question is, Craig, why would you not have a committee that would a volunteer committee that
now,
would
what's the issue that you have, Terry? What's the issue that you have with Craig? Why don't we just call it out?
Committee. Where's the committee that does the oversight?
There's no committee in state law required for the militia in the state of Idaho. Under statute or the Constitution.
Would it be a safer factor for those that are concerned about the militia if they saw a committee, a volunteer committee, doing oversight on the militia?
Who would serve on this committee?
Your neighbors, the ones that you claim.
The ones who won't even get involved in the first place.
Well,
those neighbors?
I guess that's for that is for them to decide, isn't it? If it's been offered to them, then I would think you might see a difference in opinion.
I'd like to have some oversight over a lot of people. Terry, thank you for the call. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So where do we go from here, gentlemen? What's going on? Lots of meetings. You want people to – if you're counting on me to be organized, we're in big trouble.
No. Well, we are the unorganized militia. So.
I see. Yes.
There's just a lot of urgency to be trained and at least understanding each other. When I know somebody's down the block that has some similar training to me. I got some, we're not all fortunate to have a sheriff on our block, but we do have, if we can communicate with the guy down the road who is in our squad.
Well, what do you say to people that say that's what the authorities are for?
The authorities can't always be there. I mean, every time I think about what happened with Hurricane Katrina a few years back, it was total anarchy. And even police were abandoning their posts. They have families to look after. I understand that. They're abandoning their posts. They were joining the looters. And then a lot of those people who were looting were getting necessities. I understand that as well. But it was a complete breakdown. If there were people who had trained and were prepared for something like this to happen, it might not have been so chaotic. And a lot of people could have helped each other rather than just a massive free-for-all that
it
was.
Is there a concern that the government will not recognize you guys and think of you as vigilantes?
As opposed to now?
By the way, we have.
But you have the liberal narrative where people are, they're out there in the woods. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people, when I went down to Bundy's, and they're going, well, they shouldn't have guns, they shouldn't have firearms, they shouldn't have this, and you're just exercising your constitutional rights. However, there's a lack of critical thinking skills prevalent in our society today. That's a difficult hill to accomplish.
Well, I think part of it is allowing us, and what we're actually doing, is being open. For instance, as soon as we Even formed the unit. We wrote the sheriff's department, said as soon as we have elected officers, we will come see you. Once Steve and I were elected as the CO and the XO, that we made an appointment, went in, talked with Captain Scott Johnson. And
what's been the local reaction?
Well, his reaction to us is he goes, I don't have a problem with anything that's constitutional. And he's a former Army.
Well, God bless him for not having a problem with the Constitution.
Well, but you know what? To some people, that's an issue. It's like they don't see it that way. So, frankly, that's a plus.
Yes.
And since that point in time, we've also met with the FBI a couple times and the Sheriff's Department. They wanted to talk with us about things that are going on, particularly the Bundy Ranch thing brought
Everybody
that up.
Everybody wants to talk about the Bundy Ranch.
Oh, I know. But it really brought up the issue about, and that was why we kind of covered that before, is about a militia unit going out of state. I mean, the real process would have to be is the governor of Nevada should call the governor of Idaho, say, we need some assistance. Will you activate the militia? That he would have to then activate a unit, because right now we're the unorganized militia. He'd have to call the militia up to make the organized militia, and then you could go. But if we do anything other than that, we're not following state law.
Important points. One more time, if people would like to join.
Well, there's a couple things. Each of the units, at least in southwest Idaho, all have the same email address except for their license plate ID. So it's ID, CCG, and so Ada County is 1A, Canyon's 2C, Gem is 1G, Valley is 1V right now, at cable1.net. So if you want to write directly to the unit, you can there. Canyon mm-hmm. County has a Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Canyon County 27BN. Lightfoot. So just Google that.
Fair enough, gentlemen. And we said this last time, we need to get you back more often. So we appreciate you letting people know about this and for what you're doing. It's not easy to do. Not easy at all.
No. We'll have to get you come out and broadcast live from an FTX sometime.
That'd be good. Just make sure everybody's organized, the unorganized. A lot more than I am. Thank you, gentlemen. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
News Beamer. On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We've got our friend Walt with us, Walt from Emmett, Walt Bays. Walt, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
You're a famous guy all of a sudden. What's that about?
Well, evidently people like me.
I know. You know, I was telling Mrs. Miller when we were watching the debate, I said, you know, we got three people that listen to this show that are running for governor. And Harley, he doesn't listen, but... he knows me from being on the billboard with Sean Hannity. I thought that was quite a compliment. We had you, we had the governor, and we had the senator.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you listening. I remember when you were telling us you were running for governor, and I go, you're running for governor? And I looked, and I go, well, there's Walt from Emmett. He's running for governor. How's it going?
Well, pretty good, I think. At least I get a chance to put out what I believe, what I know. And actually, you plant seeds, and it sometimes takes years for it to grow.
Right. So speaking of planting seeds, do you have a problem with being called a curmudgeon?
No, beats a lot of things they call me.
Right. I can relate to that, sir. At 580KIDO, we continue on. You thank the governor for allowing you to be in the debate. Do you think that you should have been there with Harley?
I think that the Idaho Constitution requires any public thing that's paid for with tax money to be equal benefit and equal protection for everyone. And if you paid that money, $300, to get your name on the ballot, they ought to have to take you.
Fair enough. You're a man of few words. You're going to make me work during this segment.
Well, I was up late last night, and my wife drove home, and she drives kind of slow. She claims just because she's 71 that she can drive like a 70-year-old. And I can't see enough to drive, so we have to do it that way.
Indeed. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what qualifies you to run for governor.
Well, what really qualifies me, the first thing, is I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I do my level best to try to live that. I think that's the most important thing. The next thing is when I was on the way, my mother lost my twin. And she told the doctor, I think I've still got a baby there. And he said, if I thought you did, you wouldn't have. She says, why? He says, you can't carry a baby full term and live. My youngest child made her 68th grandchild. So it sounds like that doctor was haywire.
I would agree with you on that. Now, you have 77 descendants?
Right.
That's a lot of work.
It really makes you feel good when you have a family reunion.
Right. But, and you and your wife, Mrs. Walt, who's here, looking at me suspiciously, and I look at me suspiciously as well. You had 16 kids, 8 boys and 8 girls.
Right. And they're all pretty good kids.
You know, we talk about accomplishments in life, but we never take a look at raising children as much as we should. We never focus on what an accomplishment that was. What was the key to raising 16 good kids?
Jesus Christ and the Bible. I really think that's the core of what we're supposed to be. I don't know how to put it, but like on that debate, they come up with this homosexual thing. You know, I had an idea that might come up, so I'd copied
you read a scripture verse about the gays.
Right. It gave God's opinion of this, and so many times we don't accept God's opinion as fact. It tells about how they're full of hate. And you don't see it, but we will see it in another 10 or 15 years as this thing gets worse and worse, and it will because the Bible says it'll wax worse. And it'll come to the time when the Christians are going to be persecuted in this country just like they are in Africa and through the Arabian countries.
Walt, let's talk a little bit more at 580KIDO. What would you do if you were elected? Would you obey the court's ruling concerning same-sex marriage?
No, I wouldn't. I have a real strong belief that what God says is absolute, and what the Supreme Court says, they've convinced this country that we ought to kill 56 million babies, that a woman has a right to kill her baby. I don't know how to put it, but this is leading right straight into the pits of hell. And if the Supreme Court wants to go there, they can go there, but I have no intention of going that way.
Well, none of us want to go to hell, but what about the gays?
Well,
what would you do about them? Would you obey the ruling? Or Brian Fisher this morning said he's waiting for a conservative governor to tell the feds no, and we're wondering if you're that guy.
Well, I hope I am. I have no intention whatsoever of going along with abortions or homosexual marriages or protecting wolves.
So you got against the wolves?
Well, the first thing is our Idaho Constitution states plainly that we have a right to protect our property.
Right.
I shot a wolf. I was protecting my property because that game out there, it belongs to us, the people. I personally believe that if Butch Otter had just signed a little thing saying that a wolf is a predator and anybody can kill him anytime, any place, not giving you permission to trespass or anything like that, but I really believe that he'd have done more to control the wolf population than he would by getting money.
Right. Walt is joining us. Walt Bay is joining us. Walt from Emmett, as we like to call him here at 580KIDO. Any phone calls, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I noticed that you and the governor got into it concerning the lands issue. You were debating him back and forth.
Well,
you weren't holding back.
The land belongs to the state of Idaho. It doesn't belong to the U.S. government.
Right.
And if we take that land and we do it like we do the rest of the land and make that much money, we can raise a teacher's pay and do away with the sales tax. And personally, I don't like the sales tax. When it first started, they promised it'd be 3% and they'd never raise it. Well, it's 6%. I'm not happy with it.
Right. So what would you do about it? Would you lower it?
If we can get the income, but in order to make income in this state, we need the other two-thirds of our ground. We need to do the timber. I don't know how to put it, but...
That's okay. I don't know how to put it for 4 hours a day, 6 days a week.
They keep this timber, and they watch it, and they let it get old, and they let it get...
Then they burn down the state.
Yeah, and then they give us an emissions test for our car. And that wasn't even legal.
Yeah, you admitted that you were breaking the law.
Well...
Did they arrest you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
We parked... we went up northern Idaho to get a find a mine that I hadn't seen in 50 years. We found it, but somebody else had worked it. And anyway, this state cop come by, and he looked at us, and he went on by, and then he come back, and he's laughing. And he pulls in, and, well, how are you folks doing? Well, we're doing great. My wife said, you talk to him, because I don't want to. She was worried about a ticket.
She had something against the police?
No, she just worried about a ticket.
Okay.
And me, I kind of wanted the ticket.
You've been to jail before.
Well, I deserved to be in jail.
All right. I thought
enough of my kids to pull them out of their stupid school.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So back to you and the cop, the police officer.
Anyway, he was laughing. And he talked to us for a few minutes, and then he turns around and he gets in his car, and he's laughing again. And my wife says, honey, what's he laughing about? I says, dear, he already called in about our license plate, and they told him, leave me alone. It's kind of comical. Why don't they give me a ticket for it? Why didn't they give me a ticket for shooting a wolf?
Yeah, why didn't they?
Because it was chasing my property. It was about 10 or 15 feet behind a young doe, and the doe was running along there, a-blatting like a little goat. And this big, oversized wolf was after it. I had to wait till it got past me because I haven't got enough vision to lead when something's going crossways.
Right.
But I nailed it, and the doe went on up and left.
The doe was happy you saved him.
I don't know. She was bedraggled and looked kind of pathetic, really.
Well, look, you would get chased by a wolf. You'd look pathetic.
I would.
All right, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. All right, well, let's talk about Chernobyl, because we were talking about that all day yesterday. You heard us talking about it. What does Chernobyl and Fukushima, you always got to be careful when you say that, have to do with Idaho?
Okay, Chernobyl, if you translate it into English, it comes out wormwood. And in the wormwood, in the Bible, wormwood usually refers to radiation. The thing is that they took potassium iodide, and while this hasn't got politics in it, it is very likely to be the thing, because between the superpowers, we have approximately 1,200 tons, the equivalent of 1,200 tons of dynamite for every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. And what we're talking about is a great deal of radiation. And you can get this potassium iodide, and it kept those people from getting cancer. It plugs up your thyroid gland. It blocks it from taking in any radiation, and it can save your life. And I'm not selling the stuff. I'm only telling you that it would be better to buy it 10 or 15 years ahead of time than be 5 minutes too late, because as soon as you hear anything about radiation, it all disappears off the store shelf.
Yeah, but, I mean, that didn't seem like it really made sense in the gubernatorial debate. That was like your closing comments.
Well,
you just wanted to get the word out. Because
I want people to know what's going on.
Right.
It's like the earthquake in Japan was 15 times as strong as what our atomic energy plants are built to stand. And according to the Bible, these earthquakes are going to get worse.
You know, Walt, you're really full of good news. You got any good news today?
Jesus loves me.
Does he love me?
You know, he thought enough.
Oh, my gosh. You had to hesitate there.
He thought enough of every one of us to take our place on that cross. And actually, that was just the birth pangs. Then he takes and watches over us, guides us, protects us. I
just want to answer the question, does Jesus love me?
He sure does.
Thank you, Walt. Thank you. I appreciate that. I need all the help I can get. I'll be saying some more prayers.
Well, that's where you get all your help. He may give it to you where you don't recognize it, but that's where all our help comes from.
Walt, what else would you like to share as we wind up your time here at 580 KIDO?
Well, I believe this country has done so much sin. We've killed 56 million babies because we didn't want to take care of them. The Bible is pretty plain. If any man won't provide for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. Folks, God punishes countries just like he punishes people. And if you've had an abortion, for God's sake, don't just keep the guilt. Get a hold of the Lord. Pray. That's the only cure. When they abort a baby, you abort a father, and you abort a mother. And I think it bothers a mother more than anybody.
All right, well, hang on. I got a couple questions, but we're going to go to traffic and weather and everything else. And to Morgan, I'll ask your question, and to Patty O'Daddy, I'll ask your question to Walt in a minute. First, traffic at 580.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Back with our friend Walt. Walt, what do you say about Romans 13, where we're commanded to obey government authorities?
The government authority in this country is put down in the Constitution. The U.S. government is completely out of its place. It has no business running Idaho state land. It has no business telling us that we have to allow murder in this state.
Okay, quickly, Walt, what would you do if martial law were declared and you were the governor?
I don't know. I haven't faced that yet. I'd have to pray through first.
All right, good news. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.